You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
And God showed me the hearts here at The Bridge and in the live stream community. Hearts that were weeping, hearts that were crying, and hearts that were full of joy. But he said, speak to my people about waiting. Waiting is so critical in your walk with the Lord. So Lord, I'm going to stop right here and just praise you, give you all the honor. Thank you for who you are in all of our lives. And thank you how you have carried us through all of our waiting. And how you continue to accompany us as we continue to wait. So Lord, I just praise you this morning, and I thank you for being my constant companion, my constant guide, and my constant resource. Because without you, Lord, we are nothing. But with you, Lord, we can do all things through you who strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you waiting for? If I had the time to go around this room, everybody would tell me either what they have been waiting for and received it, what they are still waiting for, and been waiting for it. Or you're just sitting there saying, I'm tired of waiting. And I understand that because I've been there. And guess what? I'm going to be there again. And you are too. I got news for you. You are going to wait on something, but you know the major part is to wait on God, knowing who he is and knowing what his word says, all of his promises. And therefore, sometimes, somehow, the waiting has a sweetness to it. Because when I got entrapped and was encased in cement for 3 years almost, I had the joy in that concrete knowing that God was there with me and was going to break it up and bring me out. But it didn't keep me from being uncomfortable. It didn't keep me from crying. It didn't keep me from saying, why me, God? And God said, why not you? I read that book about Joyce Myers about 25 years ago. Said, why, God, why? And then in parentheses, it said, why not me? And I got another look at waiting. But the most important word that God continues to give me while I'm waiting is in Jeremiah 29, 11, 13, and you all know it because you hang to it. You sleep with it. For I know the plans that I have for you. Put your name in there, Verna.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Declares the Lord. Plans to prosper.
That's right.
I don't care how tight the pocketbook seems. Yes. He says, plans to prosper you.
That's right.
And not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me with your heart. That is the most comforting word for me when I am in dismay, when I am tired, when I am disgusted, when I am just downright miserable. I know what his word says. But Habakkuk 1 and 2 said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? See, we think because he's not moving and acting, he doesn't hear. But he does hear us. But his timing is not our timing. And biblically, waiting for God is not going outside of God to resolve your issue. Do you hear that? Waiting biblically means not going outside of God for him to resolve the issue, for him to work it out. Abraham and Sarah got in trouble going outside of God. They were saying, we waited. We know what he's promised us, a son. And it just isn't happening. So how many of you this morning are saying, it isn't happening? I've been waiting on this healing. I hear other people's getting healed. I've read in the scriptures about the healing. I know personally, I've had my sister heal of kidney that was totally destroyed, and God gave her a new kidney. But it didn't stop us from when someone got cancer saying, God, when are you going to heal her? We soon forgot that he had given her a new kidney, one of the sisters. How easy we forget. How easy we say, but me, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on that job. It's time. I know it's time. I've served my time. I pray all the time. I give my tithes. I throw in a lot of offerings. It's time, God, move. Move, God. One time I said, several times I said, I think God wants me to help him. And I remembered about Sarah and Abraham. God didn't need any help in giving them a son. They got ahead of him, went outside to make this happen themselves and created chaos. Created a mess, as the old folks would say. Just a mess. Just messed up all around. Because they went outside of God to make this thing happen. They couldn't receive his promise and stand and wait when you all you've done is to keep on standing after all you've done. Stand some more. Get stronger in your standing. I believe I got a download in January. Because the cement was cracked up and ground up and hauled away from my life. And I vowed that I would never get encased again on anything from anybody, any situation. I don't care that I'm Afro-American, I'm black. And when Greta was saying this morning about her history, we have a family historian and we have family reunion where our little kids can go and see on the chart where they are all the way back to slavery. Wow. And my great, 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 great grandmother was brought here to this country in chain on a ship. Stolen while she was out running around, 17 years old, and carried to a ship and never saw her family again. We traced that. And I tried to visualize and lie in my bed and think about how she must have felt. But you know what? That gave me the strength to be somebody. I didn't waste time crying about it. I acknowledged it. And as my mother-in-law, my husband's mother would say, now that you know what it is, get up and do something about it.
That's right.
And she had 7 kids. Her husband died when my husband was 9, and there were 2 other kids that were 7 younger than him, a total of 7 kids. She educated every one of them to Ivy League universities. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, PhD educators came from her unwillingness to say, my background is going to hold me back. So what right do I have to say I'm tired of waiting? She waited on that ship in chain, was washed by a hose washing over her with water. That's who I came from. But it was instilled in me, which is scriptural, not to go outside of God's plan. So you're waiting for a husband. So you're waiting for a wife. First time I came in the church and went to a meeting on Saturday morning, and someone told me, oh, I went and bought a wedding dress because I know I'm going to be married. What do you think, Pastor Verna? I had to hold my tongue. I said, oh, if God told you to do that, okay. Don't invite me to confirm what I didn't hear. You heard it. So walk with it. But she's still unmarried. And so what I'm saying, you can't go outside of God by buying a wedding dress or anything else. Waiting? The Psalms 31:14 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. You're the course of my life.
Yes.
It is in your power. That's the word of God.
That's right.
I just trust you, Lord. I don't understand.
That's right.
I can't figure it out. But I trust you.
Right.
And because I do, guess what? I'm going to wait, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't like how it feels.
Yeah.
It's too long. But then I look at 40 years for Moses, who didn't receive his commission to lead the people out of Egypt for 40 years. I look at 25 years between Samuel being anointing David as king before David assumed the throne of king. 25 years. I would have said, oh, I just missed that. Didn't take that long. I should have been king long ago. I got things to do as king. I'm going to let people know I'm in charge. I wanted a job. I bid for it in my company. And I couldn't wait to get it. I knew I was a leading candidate. But guess what? I was so eager to get in that job because there were 2 people I was going to fire the first day. I couldn't wait. I said, I'm tired. He's lazy. He gets away with everything. First day, you got a month notice, but you can leave now. I'll pay you. But guess what God showed me? You're not ready for the job because you didn't acknowledge me.
Ooh.
you see in your emotions and your feelings who you're going to fire rather than consulting me what to do when you get in there. So guess what, Verna? Don't wait another 5 years. I got the job, but another person had to come in, do the job, and retire. But what God taught me during those 5 years, I was ready for that job. I could walk in there like a child of God and acknowledge God. But if he had given it to me when I thought I wanted it and thought I deserved it, I would have messed up things. I would have had lawsuits. But I would have fired him. I would have tried. But there were a lot of policies in place. You just don't go in and start firing. And but I was in myself, was going to clean up things. But now I can wait for God to clean you up, clean me up, and for me to learn what I need to learn before I get to a certain place. So if you're waiting for a job, if you're bidding for one, if you're waiting to hear, ask God, first of all, are you ready for that job? Do you know what you need to know before you get that job? Are you going to do it to his glory or to your glory? Then you'll step back and say, now, Lord, if it's my time and your time, then I'm ready to accept it. But if it's not, don't give it to me. I pray for my daughters all the time. My oldest daughter has never applied for a job. They came looking for her. Every job. And she got 2 years left on this contract. And she already has 5 offers. And guess what she said? She told the Baltimore Sun-Times this week when they interviewed her, can they get you to stay another term, 4 years? She said, what I am waiting for is to hear from God. What God says, that will be what I will do. Whether I will stay here, or I will go somewhere else. And one of the jobs are 3 times the money she's making now. See me, I probably would have been saying, oh yes, the Lord is leading me over here where I can give more money to the ministry. God needs his ministry supported. So he's going to use me, my tithes and big offerings. I haven't talked with God. I'm telling him what I'm going to do. So I probably would have broke this contract and started early. You see how we get ahead of God and go outside of God? Yes. It's easy to. Yes. I'm sharing about myself because I know you're in the same place. And I know that when it took 17 years for Joseph, I read Joseph's story in the scripture 10 times before I brought this message today. I cried. It was as if I was reading it for the first time. Every time I read it, I got something different, something added. It showed me myself more. I said, I think if I had served God and he put me back in prison, and then I was just forgotten about, I might have turned back on God. I don't know. But I cried for Joseph when I was reading his story. If you're waiting for something, I invite you to read Joseph. Read his life story in the Bible. God worked his plan through Joseph to save a whole nation in the time of famine. No food. He sent 7 years of abundance. But you know how when we get years of abundance, times of abundance, and we spin as if it's going to be there forever? But God had an interpreter of the dream from the king to say, save and plan and lay up for these 7 years of plenty, because there will be 7 years of famine. And God sent Joseph. All Joseph had to go through, I would have told God, use somebody else. I know you want to save a nation, but all that. See, if God showed us before what we were going to go through, all of us would shake our hand and say, no thanks. No thanks. Prison. Being lied on by the master's wife and thrown in jail for rape, and you didn't get rape anybody. How would you feel? So when you're walking around the corridors of your job and you're wondering why this is happening, why this haven't happened, go to God and say, Lord, are you working your plans out right now? I think it's time to leave. But knowing you the way I do, if it was time to leave, you would open that door. And because you haven't opened it, I'm not going to create a door to open. Because time I open it, I could fall flat down because I opened that door. It took 20 years for Jacob to be released from his father-in-law control. I think I would say, you can have your daughter, all these grandkids, because I'm not working no more years and don't see no end. And so we talk about waiting a year, waiting 6 months, whatever we are waiting for. Waiting is something that you will go through as a child of God or not a child of God. You will wait. But the beauty is when you wait as a child of God, you know what his word says about healing. You know what his word says about deliverance. You know what his word said. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. I told my daughter, I dare you look for a husband. And kids, people would tell me at the other church I was in, you told your daughters not to look for a husband. I said, it's not biblical. So when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And what is he obtains the favor from God. Why do you want to get somebody that don't have the favor of God?
Yeah. Amen.
You set up for trouble.
Yeah.
I want the favor of God added to my marriage. So with God being in charge, you can wait with a joy, even though you don't feel like being joyful. You can be joyful over what his word says and what his promises are. So let me tell you two things that is happening while you wait on God. God is doing something bigger in you is number one. He is doing something bigger than you. You are not the master. You are a piece of the puzzle. You are not the master who knows the whole puzzle.
That's right.
He knows your whole life. Why couldn't you entrust yourself in him saying, Natalie, this door is now open for you to walk. And until I open the door, stay put. Because if you go outside of me, you will regret it. So no matter how much you think you have earned this, what is God saying? Pastor Manny, wait, 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 wait. And I know you feel like saying, I don't even want to hear the word anymore. Been waiting a long time.
How long, Lord?
How long? But God says, you're coming out from under the cover that you've been under. You were hid for a season. you were dealt with for a season, but now coming out, you are ready not to walk but run. See, God wants somebody to run. You just want to hop along. Just hop. At 82, I can't walk as fast as I used to, but I can still walk, so I praise God for that. I'm not on a walker. I'm not on a cane. And my husband would say, let me help you. I said, I can walk down the stairs. Thank God for you, but I'm walking. And so, number one is he's doing something bigger than you. Will you allow him to work the process, finish the job, and then usher you into it? Diane's been waiting. She just want a word saying, it's over, Diane, come on. But God is answering you in other ways. We want to hear God say, okay, it's finished, Natalie. There it is. But God is doing something bigger than you as you wait for your total healing. Yes. And when you get it, you will say, God, I'm so glad you could see what I couldn't see. Now, doing something bigger than you. Number two is the word of the Lord in the scriptures said in verse 19 in Psalm 103. The word of the Lord said, testing him. God sent Joseph on that journey to test him. Do you know Joseph could not just leave his father's house and rule a nation, be the second person in charge? First of all, he would have gotten back at his brothers for messing with him, didn't like him. But see, Joseph played in that by going around and saying, look what my father gave me, a coat of many colors. And I know he must have said it, because I would have said, I must be the favorite. And so he helped along some of the things that he was persecuted by his attitude, his actions. What are your actions today? Clean them up. So to test you is to make you better. You know how through the assembly lines and when you're working on computers and things and they keep testing it before they bring a product to, you know, the market. Say, okay, it passed everything, all the tests, it's ready to go out and be manufactured and put on the shelves. They test it. So why do you think you don't need to be tested? When God showed me things about myself, I said, wait, boy, I would have messed that up if you had let me do that. I said, I'm so glad that you can see the whole picture. I can only see one part of it. And because he can see the whole picture, he tests you where when you get to those parts in your walk with him, you won't mess it up and have to go over again. Like the children of Israel, like Sarah and Abraham, all those years by rushing getting the wrong son when God had promised them a son from Sarah. And so the word said he tested him. I don't know if you have seen that, if you're aware of it, or have you dealt with it and talked with God about it. But I ask God now, when I go into a slumber about something I think I shouldn't be getting, undoful given to me, I said, God, what part did I play in this? What did I do that you need to correct in me before I go to the next step? Before you give me this, I'll tell you. When I first got married, if my husband and I had made the money that we made before we retired, I wouldn't have had a penny when I retired. I would have said, oh, yeah, the 401k, that's good. That's enough savings. That's enough investments. All I would have seen is living now. I hear people say, oh, live, enjoy your life. I would not have, but I had a husband who said, I don't care because we can afford it, we are not getting it. I wanted a Mercedes, guess what? Because I could afford it. And I even said to him, oh, I can get one on my own. I don't need your signature. The money I make, I can sign my own name. He said, if you bring a Mercedes in here before these two kids graduate from college, you or the car is going. He didn't have to say that but once. He said, you're not riding around in a Mercedes and a $30,000 tuition bill is due. And she have to come out of school and go to work because you're riding in a Mercedes. I learned how to wait. And when he said I could get one, I didn't want one then. He said, you can get any car you want. I went out and got a Camry. I mean, he said, please go get whatever car you want. I said, I don't need that car no more. Amen. You see how God dealt with me during that time? Yes. That I thought I needed something that I didn't need. Yeah. And to be able to graduate my two daughters, yeah, and them not on a dime in college loans, yeah, because I didn't ride in my Mercedes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But that was his choice. And it was mine when he finished. And so God is taking you deeper and further when he is testing you. You're not just being tested where you can cry and whether you can where you can complain. You are tested where he can take you deeper and higher. To a higher goal, to a higher level in him.
Amen.
I wouldn't have been as good a giver as I am if I had gotten used to getting everything material I could afford.
Yeah. Amen.
As they would say back there then, Verna makes a man's salary. I said, I don't know what you mean. I'm a woman. I make a woman's salary. I'm not making a man's salary. I'm doing a job, not a man's job. I'm doing a job that pays this, and they are paying me.
Amen.
So don't tell me I'm making a man's salary.
Yeah.
God gave me the ability for that job. I was able to do it, and I got paid for it. But if God hadn't put me with my husband, I don't know where I would be, because he would have gotten me somewhere along the way. But I would have spent up some money. And so when God is trying to do something deeper in you and take you further, don't kick it. Ask him, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? And when Joseph got to be the king and in charge of all the food, and his brothers came to get food, everybody had to come to Joseph to get their food. That was the only food in the land. And when they came, they were afraid because they knew how they had treated Joseph. You know, sometime when you are afraid to go before a person or to ask them, you've done something kind of naughty. You've been a bad little girl. And so you think they're going to be bad back. They're going to get you back. Now, if it had been me on the job that I had gotten, I'd have got him back. And God said, that's not who I want to be seen in Verna's life. Verna's going around saying she's a Christian and she can't wait to fire people. What kind of image of Christ is she displaying? You can hear things that you would fire a person instantly on. And God said, no, I can work with that person. I got plans for that person. So just hold up here. You can't do your thing. That's my child. I know what I plan to do in their lives. And therefore, stand back. Let me work here. So what is God working in your life when you're waiting? And you wait. And you wait. And 2 to 3 years from now, Pastor Manny is going to stand back and say, God, it was worth the wait.
That's right.
He's going to say, ooh. He's going to stand right here in this pulpit and say, it was worth the wait.
Yes. Amen.
And we're going to rejoice with him because like he said, wait and wait and wait and wait it.
That's right. Amen.
And we can rejoice with him because we knew he was waiting. And so I want you today to take Joseph's life and I want you to look at yours and say, whatever I'm waiting for, to get pregnant, to have a child, to get that husband that God promised me, to meet that wife that I've been looking for, to get that job that I know I'm ready for, what is it you're waiting for that God is still testing you for? That God is still working on you. And what God planned to bring to fruition in your life requires a little bit more molding. Getting that temperament in place. Getting you a little hardiness out of the way. Because see, Verna had a lot of hardiness. Oh, yeah. I had it. It took God to tone it down and to deal with it.
Amen.
And believe me, you will wish man had dealt with it when God gets through dealing with it. See, because when man is doing it, you can pray to God, God, help me here. He's too hard. Help me, God. But when God is doing it, you can't do nothing but say, Lord. Oh, you don't have nowhere to go. Isn't that an awful position to be in? That's why I say when God is with you, that's why he said you can do all things through him.
Amen.
And that's why he says you are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
But it's through him. You're not more than a conqueror on your own. God sees you. He knows the whole deal. You can fool me. I can fool people. I work with Natalie long enough to know if she's trying to fool me. And she'll call me on the carpet. Even though I'm her spiritual mother, she will call me on the carpet with the word of God, which I respect. And so therefore, whoever God put in your life, that he's testing you through, he's working you to a place, because some of you will never get where God wants to take you because you won't allow him to do the work that he needs to do. Now, this young man in the yellow shirt here, come up here. Yeah, you. You're the only one with a yellow shirt, I think, in the house. Okay, stand right there. God said, just like you went to school in the medical field, and just like you walk those halls every day and attend to patients, just like you in your daily life depend on your skills, your learning, and you acknowledge God. You're a child of God. So you acknowledge him. So you're ahead of all those other people there that think they are doing it on their own brilliancy and thinking they are really smart. And God said, because I have placed you there, because I positioned you and prepared you and allowed you to be where you are today, now I'm taking your love for me and your skills, all of you experience. And guess what? I'm wrapping it up into a job that I'm going to send you on. You're going to work for me. And it doesn't mean quitting your job and getting in the pulpit. It means that you're going to be an ambassador for God. You have the personality. You have the, I hate to say this about men, but I can't think of another word. You have the sweetness about you. You don't have a roughness. You know how some men, you can tell when they open their mouth. But you have a gentleness and a sweetness. And Lord said, I'm going to use it for my glory. I see you when you're praying. I see when you are just sitting thinking, God this, God that. He said, I hear you when you are questioning me. And I have taken note of all of it. And now I'm rolling into a scroll, and I'm going to pull the scroll out and say, this is what I've been working on. This is where I was bringing you to. So serve me well, because they will know you have been with me, says the Lord. And I can't remember his name, but he's in the green shirt. You're Jennifer husband. I hate to refer to people as somebody's husband. Jay, come up. Because people would say all the time, oh, Jack Brookins, you know Verna's husband. Oh, I hated that. I wanted them to just say, Jack Brookins, he don't need to be identified as my husband. Your name, I keep forgetting. James. James in the Bible. The Lord would say, James, you walk about with a lot of me in you, and you just go about your job, and you do it without grumbling or mumbling, and I see it. And therefore, James, the way you have been to your family, the way you are as a man of God, and people know that you serve me, I'm your child on your job. He said, now I'm going to use you in a whole new capacity. And it's because you have served me well as a student and as a receiver and as a willingness of heart. I'm going to take all of that. And James, I'm going to sit you near the top. Your new position is with me, says the Lord. Praise God. And we're going to get out of here, but I just got to. I was trying to tell the Lord, I'll do it secretly. He said, no, do it openly. Natalie, you can sit right there because you might fall, so sit down. The Lord would say, Natalie, I've heard your cry. I've heard your constant, I hate to use the word complaining. You really weren't complaining, but you were just upset with God that he hadn't moved on your time. And God said, Natalie, I got you. You know too much about me. I've done too much for you to even think about doubting that I'm not on your case. I'm on your case. It's been on my desk. I haven't put it in the bin. I haven't put it in a drawer. It's right before me. And I am going to accomplish the next stop in your life. And there is nothing you can do. So drop your hands, close your mouth, and just say, I will wait on you patiently, Lord. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he heard my cry. And he said, Natalie, I hear your cry, your concerns, and I got you covered, amen, says the Lord. Amen. Now, Missy, I've been praying for you because of what God has shown me. God has shown me large crowds of women that are sitting there like little birds waiting on their mother to drop food in their mouth. And that's what I saw when I first came here. The conferences you ran, the Saturday morning teaching, you were the image of God feeding his people. You went and dug for resources. You took your time and planned it. And we were all blessed. And God said, guess what? Get up. He said, my people are ready to be blessed. My people are ready to be fed. So get up. Walk. And then run. Because I'm going to be with you every step. God says, I am with you. And I have called you. And I don't make any mistakes, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now go and say, yes, Lord. And get ready. There's nothing hindering you. God said, I got everything that you need. It's in me.
Amen.
Now stand up and walk with me, says
praise
the Lord.
You. Amen.
Get going.
I just receive that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You a warrior. Amen. You are not allowed to sit on the sidelines.
Amen.
What does a warrior look like sitting on the sideline? She got all the gear.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he said, you will not sit down with the gear that I have given you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Just move with him, says the Lord. So I want to leave with you today, all of you, whatever you're waiting for God to intervene. The healing, don't give up. God is the healer. And his word will not return void, but it will accomplish that it was sent out to accomplish. It will not return void, says the Lord. So all of you, raise your hand, stand up. I want you to receive this. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I have heard your word, and I am going to wait with a different look, with a different attitude. I'm going to wait with joy because I want your will in my life. I refuse to go outside of you. But I receive your instructions and guidance today. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.